Idaho Matters from the studios of Boise State Public Radio News. For more than 40 years, artist James Castle drew inspiration from his home, creating impactful work that challenged certain aspects of the art world. And today, that same house has provided similar inspiration for 22 other artists, all of whom have lived and worked in the space, bringing new life and understanding to this historic site. The latest exhibition at the James Castle House is Interlude, a 5-year residency retrospective. The museum is pairing together Castle's artwork with the visiting artists, giving viewers a glimpse at the special connection between the past and the present. And joining us today to talk more about the exhibit is Cultural Sites Program Manager, Kristen Hill. Kristen, always nice to have you on the show.
Nice to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
So, Kristen, for folks who may not be familiar with who James Castle was, can you tell us a little bit about him?
Yes. So James Castle was a self-taught artist who lived in Idaho his entire life, from his birth in 1899 to his death in 1977. He was born profoundly deaf and never gained proficiency with any formal language system, such as reading, writing, or sign language. So he used art to express himself and explore his world. He was prolific. He spent every day drawing, and he left behind a massive amount of really incredible works.
So let's talk about his artwork. What made it so special and unique?
I think, you know, there's a couple of facets that are really interesting. One is just the fact that Castle was self-taught, and, you know, he was able to develop some really advanced techniques. He taught himself linear perspective, which is incredibly difficult. Another thing is he used really non-traditional materials. He's known for using primarily found materials. So when you see his work, you'll frequently see materials such as, he's well known for using soot from the wood-burning family stove with his saliva. So he would mix these to create a mixture that would be, you know, something like a watercolor up to something like a charcoal in density. He used a lot of previously used papers, or, you know, things that had another life before they became his art. So a lot of his work is on old food packaging, or, you know, his nieces and nephews' homework, you know, pieces of paper that came from the family that are a really interesting representation of how they lived, what they ate, you know, what they were interested in. So it's kind of a little bit of a time capsule as well.
And Kristen, how did he get projected into the art world? And what I mean by that is, my understanding, and please correct me if I'm wrong, is that James Castle didn't necessarily have this vision to become this great artist. It was, as you said, he was deaf. This was a way to express himself, to communicate. But now here we are today, and he is this world-renowned artist.
Yes. It's pretty incredible. You know, he was first kind of, as you say, launched into the art world in the early 1950s. So, and on a much smaller scale, he had a nephew who was attending art school in Portland, Oregon, and his nephew had taken some of Castle's work back to his school and shared with his professors, and they immediately recognized the incredible proficiency and this amazing self-taught skill that he had, and they involved him in a couple of group shows around the Pacific Northwest. He was able to have two solo shows at the Boise Art Museum while he was alive. It was previously the Boise Gallery of Art, and you know, did see some recognition in his own lifetime, but a lot of the notoriety has come after, in the decades after his death, which is, you know, he's now in the Smithsonian, he's in the Whitney, you know, he's kind of known all over the world. And that has really come about from the hard work of a previous art dealer in town named Jackie Christ, who owned the J. Christ Gallery. And she worked really hard to get some attention on his work, and eventually was so successful with that that she closed down her commercial gallery and turned it into the James Castle Collection and Archive, which now exists as a place that is just dedicated to archiving and, you know, better understanding Castle's work.
And so now his house, the James Castle House, as you mentioned, this is where he grew up. It is a museum. It's an artist residency. I remember when this whole project was happening. And what I find fascinating about it is, you know, back when James Castle was coming of age, this was, you know, the country, right? But yet here we now, in the middle of Boise, have this phenomenal museum and artist residency. Tell us a little bit about that and the, you know, the fruition of the house becoming what it is today.
Yeah. So, when Castle lived at the property for 46 years, so he was there for the majority of his life, moved onto the property with his mother when he was about 31. And at the time it was a 5-acre farm. And you're right, it was in a much more rural area at the time. Mm-hmm. The Castle family owned the home until the mid 1990s. They sold to an individual. And in 2015, that individual sold the house to the city of Boise. So this came into our portfolio because of the previous director of the Department of Arts and History, Terry Shoresman, who was aware of James Castle and his importance and his legacy. And she took this project to mayor and council, who approved the project. And so we began the process of about 3.5 years of renovations on the house. Mm-hmm. So today, you know, it's this beautiful space that has managed to capture and share as much as possible of the original historic house and its character, while also updating it to be a very comfortable, usable space for contemporary events. And then, as you mentioned, we've got this artist in residence program that's also a new architectural space.
So let's talk about this artist in residence program, because first, I cannot believe it's been 5 years of hosting these artists in residence. What has it been like having these artists live and work in this space? But what makes that really in some ways so important and special?
You know, it has been amazing to have this program. And you're right, it's wild that it's been 5 years already. I can't believe it. Yeah. But it's really an excellent opportunity for us to be able to share with our community, for starters, just what it looks like to have a daily creative practice. You know, Castle is so prolific that it's hard to kind of wrap your brain around creating so much work. And so for people to be able to come into the space and see a daily practice, it kind of helps to bring that to life a little bit. Our residents are invited to come on site and really respond to their time here to, you know, what they're learning about Boise, about James Castle, about the house and the property in the creation of their new work. So we have multiple events with each of our residents that invite the community in. We have open studios and workshops and presentations so that our community has the chance to come in and meet these artists and get to know their work and make a connection with them. And it's something that really gives us an opportunity to explore James Castle through a very different lens. So each of these artists is coming with their own interests and they are exploring in a different way. And we've learned so much from these residents.
And your current exhibition, as I mentioned, is called Interlude, and it pairs contemporary artworks by these James Castle House residents with original works by James Castle. Why did you decide to feature these works together?
You know, this is a really special part of our residency program. We have a couple of different lengths of residency. So we've got a 10-day and we've got a 10-week. And for our 10-week residents, a part of their contract is that they donate a piece at the end of their term. So these are all works that are now a part of the City of Boise's permanent collection. And one thing that is a great opportunity for them when they're here, they get to go to the James Castle Collection and Archive and have the opportunity to dive deeply into Castle's work and see works that they're really interested in and work closely with Andre Merrill, who is the collection manager at the James Castle Collection and Archive, to get a better understanding of Castle's work. So in this exhibition, we invited Andre Merrill to select works based on her experience with our residents and what they were interested in, what they responded to when they were there with her. So she selected works to accompany the works that they had donated based on that experience.
Oh, what kind of connection do you see between James Castle's original work and the residents' newer creations?
You know, I think that varies a lot. We've had a lot mm-hmm. of different residents that are doing different types of work. Some of the connections that you see are, they're easy to see, some of them. They are much more clearly identifiable just from an outside perspective. So for instance, mm-hmm. our first resident that we ever had, his name was Kieran Brennan Hinton, in the summer of 2018, he had the opportunity to go inside of James Castle's the shed that he used as his private studio and living space for a lot of the time that he was on this property, and paint from inside the shed. So we've got this beautiful painting that captures a corner of the shed with a window and sunlight streaming in through the window. And it's just beautiful. And it's a really strong connection. You know, he always described it as being sort of, you know, standing in the same place that James Castle stood and having a conversation with this artist over a span of decades. So, you know, that's something that it's very clear. Some of the artists have been, you know, they're making a little bit more abstract connections. Mm-hmm. You know, we had another artist who, you know, she painted this beautiful picture of the shadow as it fell across the lawn outside of the studio windows every single day. That was such a big part of her experience here, was seeing that view while she was here. So it really impacted her. We've had a poet, we've had a writer, you know, we've had people working in all sorts of different media. So they're all coming from a very different place in their response.
How long is the exhibition going on?
The exhibition will be up until the end of April.
Okay, so lots of time for folks to see it. Very quickly, Kristen, before I let you go, I really want to touch on the fact that the James Castle House just received the Idaho Council for the Deaf and Hard of Hearing's Excellence Award. This recognizes the city's commitment to creating welcoming and inclusive spaces, particularly around the deaf and hard of hearing community here in our area. Can you quickly just tell us a bit about just how important that recognition is for the
absolutely.
James Castle House? Yeah.
Yes. So it has been very important for us to tell a more complete story of James Castle as a human, which includes not only, you know, his experience as an artist and a member of his family, but also as a deaf man. And in order to understand that experience a little better, we have relied on deaf scholars and educators and other deaf individuals to share their experience with us. So it's been a result of their work that we've been able to offer a more welcoming and inclusive space at the James Castle House. So as a result of their feedback, we've made changes to the way a deaf visitor might engage with the museum. We offer ASL interpretation for all of our virtual programs. On site, we offer a video tour of the James Castle House and his life story. And that video tour is delivered in ASL with voiceover in English through a deaf space study that we had conducted by Jeffrey Mansfield, who is a deaf architect with Mass Design Firm. We gained a better understanding of the way James Castle might have interacted with his personal spaces as a deaf man, and also of spatial considerations that the museum should be aware of to create a better experience for a deaf or hard of hearing visitor. So at the 5-year anniversary celebration, when this was awarded, it was amazing. We had a larger group of members of Boise's deaf and hard of hearing community than we've ever had on site at one time. And it was such a rewarding experience to see them interacting with the space. And we have, so far, we have had one deaf short stay resident. Her name is Mavis Irwin. She was working on a documentary about the Gooding School for the Deaf and Blind, where Castle attended school for about 5 years. And we are very, very, very excited to welcome our first full-term deaf resident. Her name is Ellen Mansfield, and she will be joining us in February. So that's really exciting.
Yeah. Well, Kristen, as always, such a pleasure to talk with you. So really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Did you know you are physically adapting to all your swiping, scrolling, and tapping?
We're changing our bodies and what they're able to do through our habits.
NPR's Body Electric, a special interactive series investigating how to fix the relationship between our tech and our health. Listen in the TED Radio Hour feed wherever you get your podcasts.